Hey.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Fakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.
Hey, welcome to the car wash, our first episode. I am your host, Slu Paho, but I'm joined in studio by two former players. You might know them, maybe, I don't know. former Ajax Cape Town goalkeeper. You've seen him at Sundowns and Bidvest Wits as well. Sean Roberts, how you doing, bro?
Thank you, my brother. This is a long time in the making. This is something I've been wanting to do for years.
Indeed.
I've just been struggling to find the two best looking guys in town to do it with.
Unfortunately, you didn't succeed.
I know, and I'm still waiting to find them. Sorry, three. Simple Simon. How's it, bud? Yeah, man. So, yeah, Slu, thanks, bud.
And we also have former Bafana Bafana Pirates, Sundowns, and Cape Town City midfielder. They call him the General. Teko Modise, how you doing?
I'm good. Mfethu unjani we?
Ah, ngikhona nafe.
Yizo.
So, let's get started. Let's just dive on.
Sport. You play for SuperSport as well. Did you say SuperSport? You didn't say SuperSport.
No. I mean, long resume. I was trying to pick.
Nobody actually mentioned SuperSport. They mentioned the teams that but I played for. I don't understand why.
That made you, right?
No, not really.
You made yourself, Teko.
I just played there for one season.
You made yourself, bro.
I played one season.
Was it like a Pokemon thing? You thought, like, I got to catch them all. Like,
collecting the jizz.
Not enough time.
Not enough time, chief.
Let's get into it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Cape Town City FC, I think. We got to start right there. My man's Benny. We love Benny.
Benny's good for football. Benny's good for local football. Benny's good for Cape Town.
Yeah.
Is he good for Cape Town City, though? FC. I hope so. I'd like to think so. He's under immense pressure.
A lot of pressure. No wins in 9 matches in all competitions right now. It's tough times over there. They have talented players. They just, you know, and they're not like getting destroyed in these matches, you know?
No. It's a case, I mean, Teko will correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a case of they scoring. You know, you've got Erasmus there, he's on fire. He's been unbelievable this season. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, one of their best signings besides Peter Liebenberg, in my opinion. But just at the back, they're struggling, eh?
But I think in all fairness, I think it's just the team itself.
Mm.
I think this season there's a lot of imbalance within the team. Maybe there's no leadership also on the pitch also. Because normally when a team started, if you remember, there was your Robert Johannes that people actually can, you know, give
take
instructions.
Ownership.
Exactly, give instructions on the pitch. But now things are different now. So now you've got good football players, but they don't speak. So
it's
now, it's a problem. And also as a coach, as for Bain, I think as a coach, you need to go through this kind of stage for you to actually grow.
Mm.
You know, it happens to every coach, and it's just that he's fortunate because now he's at the team where they actually still believe in him.
Mm.
You know, they're still keeping him there. Imagine if it was a Chip, 2 games you're
nah,
out.
Chip,
you know?
Let's not even go to Chip. Ooh.
Yeah. But now he's still at the team where they actually still believe in him. And it's just a matter of maybe one convincing win. Probably maybe it might change things around. But of course, it's concerning. I mean, 9 games, being Cape Town City, being an ambitious team that it is, it's very concerning. And I'm sure even Ben himself, you know, is concerned. And you could see even the way he's not himself. And I mean, it's good because now he's emotionally invested into the team. But as for being safe, I think for now it's still safe.
Yeah, I mean, when I did the game when they played
Friday,
Maritzburg,
Friday,
I mean, he wasn't himself on the bench.
Yeah.
He hardly moved. We were used to Benny standing, screaming, shouting.
Mm. There was a point where he was just like kind of leaning against.
Yeah,
the,
just as a point of acceptance, or I wouldn't say giving up. I don't think Benny's that type of guy, but certainly just like something's got to change.
Yeah.
Like, something's not going right here.
Yeah, so but also, you need to also consider the fact that it's his first time this happening to him.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't know how to react to it, because now when you shout, you feel like you're making things worse. You're keeping quiet, maybe the players will take responsibility, those type of things. So he's caught in between. But I think if he can survive this, it'll make him a better coach. Because now, once you keep on winning, and then Ben is new, it's 3 years into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So now, once he keeps winning and there's no such thing that happens in his career, there's no way that he can grow. There's no way that he can know this kind of challenges, how to come out of them. Because now, if you have to compare him with all the good coaches in South Africa, they went through those stages.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for him, it's a learning curve. And if he can survive this, Cape Town City in good hands.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Benny, eh?
On the other side of things, you know, they're sitting in 13th. How many matches would you give him? Say you were the owner of the club. How many matches would you give him to turn things around now?
You know, it's a good question, Slu. You know, thank goodness for Benny, and we just touched on it earlier, that his boss is a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
John Kamitsis is, he eats, breathes, sleeps football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it was a Chipper, he would have been long gone.
Yeah.
Of course.
But, you know, it's, you look at Chiefs, for example, example now with Middendorp.
Mm-hmm.
They've stuck by him.
Yeah.
They could have fired him easily.
Yeah.
They probably should have, if you think local football wise. They've stuck by him. They're top of the log. That, you know, yeah. they're playing amazing football at the moment.
Mm.
And like Teko says, all it takes is two or three wins.
Yeah.
And Benny's a hero again. The
yeah.
self-belief comes back. They just made a new signing with this Greek boy at the back as well, which is interesting. So
and also if you check like from the fourth position coming downwards, it's always 11 or 12 points.
Mm.
So now Benny, I think he's got 8. Yeah, I think he's got 8 or something like that. So now 2 wins, you're actually back in top 8.
Yeah.
So that's the way the league is right now. It's so tight that anybody that wins actually gets into a better position. So yeah. He's not far off.
I actually think of Stellenbosch FC when you say that. You know, they were bottom, they were, I think, 15th for the longest time, and then they win a couple, and I think they're top half of the table.
Well, look at the end of last season. SuperSport United was the season before. I think it was last season. They're struggling.
Yeah.
Fighting relegation.
Yeah.
Two wins at the end of the season, they're in the top 8.
Top 8.
Only
yeah.
in the PSL.
And then they end up in the final of the top 8.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's
unbelievable.
And then, hey, let's talk about Benefits FC and Sundown.
Yes. First of all, what a game.
What a game.
What a cracker of a game. Yeah. As a football neutral, you can only, you know, wish for more of those games. You wish every game was sold out. You wish every game was full of controversy. You wish every game had pizza in, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just causing so much out there.
Yeah.
But
he's great for the game. I mean, we can talk about it at length now. I'm sure we are. Yeah. Was it offsides? I don't think so. Absolutely not. It wasn't a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a goal. It was a goal. It was definitely not offsides.
Ish.
You think?
I think it was an offside because now... The reason why I'm saying that is...
Teko.
Listen to what I'm saying first. The person that we all think that actually touched the ball, nobody is sure that whether Castro touched the ball or not.
Mm-hmm.
So now even it was played in slow motion so many times, there's no change of direction on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally when you touch the ball, it actually, you know, it's only natural for the ball to change direction.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like it didn't change direction. And I mean, it was a goal, it was given. But then again, they had what? They had like maybe 70-something minutes to play to try and equalize and all that stuff. But of course, it doesn't sit well when you prepare for a game, especially a big game like that, you know, with so many fans coming to the game and trying to enjoy the game, and then only the referee to decide the game, not the players. So it becomes the trend now where every week you see referees making bad decisions and they're actually deciding the results of the game.
Sure.
But with that one, I think we can debate about whether it was an offside or not, but
yeah.
They had 75 minutes to play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They had so many chances, like they could have scored. So it's Kansas Chiefs. For me, like Sean said, it was a beautiful game. And to see the fans actually attending that game, it was dope. Like, I was so jealous. I wish that I was doing that game.
Absolutely.
You know, for the atmosphere.
Because wish I was playing in that game.
Dude,
shit.
Like, that's how dope it was. But you know, Pizzo liked the stage. He enjoys the stage. Pizzo actually should be going to Idols. He loves the stage.
Yeah. Funny enough, can we play that clip of Pizzo after the match, fuming?
Yes, this guy's angry.
Mad.
He's one of the luckiest coaches. The goal that they scored is offside.
Okay, I wanted us to clarify that. I want us to take a look at it once again. Because
the last person to touch it is Castro.
I know that it was a major talking point throughout the game.
It makes the decision. We play under stress because they benefited from the linesman's mistake.
All right, so let's take a look at it once again. We saw that, and in the studio, we looked at it from so many different angles.
Trying to get
the trajectory
out
of the ball doesn't seem to change. It seems as if it doesn't touch his ball.
Carol,
very close.
Carol, do we want to justify how many times Kansas City win with the referee's mistakes?
But if you look at what transpired here today, can you give the benefit of the doubt to the assistant referee who sees it first time?
I'll give the benefit of the doubt if you play against AmaZulu, Golden Arrows, or anybody. Okay, against Kaizer Chiefs, I give no space. There's no benefit of the doubt to Kaizer Chiefs because they benefited a lot.
Oof,
now, let's talk about how your team played, trying to get them back into the game.
Pizzo.
He's mad.
Tell us how you really feel.
I know I'm a rank amateur here, but...
No, you're not, Simon. No, you're not.
I tried Grass Boots FC, but they wouldn't even have me. offside, right? The player doesn't actually have to touch the ball. It's just if he interferes with the play. So even if like a player comes near a ball so that the opposition would think he's about to get it, he's interfering with the play. So whether the ball actually touched Castro or not, isn't he still offside?
Interesting idea, because the goalkeeper would shift his position if Castro goes up for the header. So he would be better placed for the Nurkovic touch had Castro been nowhere near the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas him going up and being that close, maybe. There's a part of me that goes, you know, say it was like Marouane Fellaini with like the big gigantic hair, you know, would we then say, nah, that touched him, man? Because then you see his hair move.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that close to Castro's head for me.
It's such a fine line. I mean, even the VAR is getting it wrong in England. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we can sit here for days and debate this. But what we see with Pizzo here is we see a coach that cares. We see a coach that generally hates losing, who wants to win.
Yeah.
And we don't see enough of that.
Yeah, we don't.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Coaches are becoming cagey. They don't express how they feel. And one thing I can give Pizzo is it doesn't matter who he plays. He actually expresses how he feels all the time. Yeah. He might not be right at times, but it makes him human.
Yeah.
And then you understand he's emotionally invested into the game. I mean, he prepares the team so well, and then he gets for this. Me, I love him when he's like this because I know he's going to say something stupid.
I mean, I know that the PSL are going mad now. That they're saying that he's bringing the PSL into disrepute, etc., etc.
Yeah, I spoke to the SAFA, the chairperson for the SAFA referees committee yesterday. She came out swinging against both Owen Degama and Pizzo, saying, you know, they're the last people to talk. That, you know, the owners of the clubs would express themselves differently. You know, they're attacking, but you know, they're coaches, man. They want to see their boys win. And also what I like about Pizzo is that he's restless. He's the most successful coach, active coach in the league right now.
Yeah.
But he never takes a chill pill and calms down. No, he wants the victory
so
bad.
But then again, you come to a point where Pizzo and Owen, they're the people that actually want to be punished. But then what are we doing to the referees? Like, you know, we're keeping quiet about the referee, which means we're saying, no, the referees, you know what, keep doing what you're doing. We're just looking at the coaches. The coaches, now you can't say anything. And remembering that coaches, actually, once they start losing those kind of games, they get fired.
Yeah.
The referees are still there. They're going to be officiating on Wednesday and Saturday and Saturday. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit unfair. I understand, you know, as a coach, the certain ways that you need to speak, we understand that. But then again, why can't we look at the matter itself? Why is he that mad? Why is he saying that? Because I don't feel like, because now footballers, you know football. Go through the week, you do your match analysis, you prepare for the game, you know, for the team that you're going to play against.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the game, you do the same thing. You get your videos, you try and analyze and rectify the mistakes.
Mm.
The question is, are the referees doing that?
Yeah, and I think a better example would be the Pirates Highlands match from the other night, from Tuesday night.
Mm.
You know, I wanted to ask you about this. You know, Mabaso's challenge early on into the match, he ends up later scoring an offside goal
by miles,
you know, so
by miles. How did they miss that?
Yeah, so the game changes. I mean, for me, the challenge I think was the 11th minute.
Red card, Slew.
Immediate red card.
It's a purple card. That's how red it is.
Boots up. He's inches away from breaking that boy's leg. So
that player wasn't the same again, was he, after that? Yeah. After that challenge, he was completely out of the game.
Yeah, yeah. So you look at that challenge and you go, if they give that boy, if they give Mabaso a red card, he doesn't go on to score later in the match. We don't even have a conversation about the offside goal. Whereas now that's all we talk about. But the referee, we don't.
Look, we can sit here week in and week out complaining about refs, complaining about linesmen.
Mm-hmm.
But until the day that they are full time, we cannot say anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually getting what we're paying for.
We all. You pay cheap, you pay twice.
Of course.
Full stop, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So we can sit here. We probably will sit here next week and still talk about the referee decision that's just happened.
Most definitely.
100%.
Most definitely.
That's what Pizzo should be fighting for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is to get the referees full time.
Yeah.
Right. We commit to 20, 30 referees of this year getting paid X amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up.
That's it. Training twice a week, just like they do in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And that changed the game completely.
Because now these refs and these linesmen, they're liable to be singled out by fans, by coaches alike. And Twitter was insulting this one linesman, the linesman who got the Mabaso goal wrong. Yeah.
The one with the crooked eyes.
Yes.
Sean hasn't seen it.
Tetuga.
No ways.
Yeah, they actually. But I think also, I feel like because the referees sometimes they don't get enough credit, and they only recognize at the end of the season, well, probably maybe giving a trophy to a linesman and the referee of the
little
year.
Little piece of plastic. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Yeah. So now during the season, they're like, guys, we'd probably be tired of not being recognized. So we might as well do our thing. And
it's
actually,
like goalkeepers,
right now,
man. We don't get recognized.
Yeah, but I'm saying referees now, they're highly recognized. Trust me. So they're actually getting what they want. But it's unfortunate. I think I was having this chat with other guys as well. I said, I think this is the only time where I felt like referees are so under pressure to do the right things and they actually f*** up.
Yeah.
Like proper. Yeah. They're so under pressure, but they don't care. Week in, week out, big decisions, they don't take them. That's why there's only one referee that in South Africa we're actually scared of, because he doesn't mind giving anybody a red card. But then other guys are scared to make big decisions. Like you say, the Mabasa ticket, it was supposed to be a red card.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But if, but I also think that if also it was... okay, I'm going to be a little bit controversial. If that goal... if Pirates... goal was probably maybe in the 50-something minutes, 60th minute. It was going to be an offside. We're going to probably judge an offside. But now look at the time when they score.
What was it? 82 or something?
Guys, I play for London Pirates. It's very difficult as an official to... Because now you're scared of the crowd. You know, you're always scared of something else.
Yeah, and it's Tembisa as well.
You know, there's so many things
of dreams.
Hard as hell too.
So he's probably scared to make all those big decisions. But I mean, he's human, but I understand. But then he's f***ing up the game. You know, like the players, now they feel f***ing about themselves. You know, it's a big game. You know, when you play all these big games, especially when you play for a smaller team playing against Orlando Pirates,
you're giving 110%.
Exactly. That's and then you lose like that. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah,
for a guy that actually is supposed to get a red card and then he goes on.
I know. That's a biggie, hey? Yeah. That's a biggie. So again, you know, back to Pitso. I mean, with regards to what he's saying, and, you know, I think it's great. I really do. Can you imagine now if he hasn't been going on about this, the next Chiefs and Sundowns game, it won't have them as much, you know, oomph about it, if you like.
Yeah.
But now he's creating this awareness. He's creating this demand for SA football.
Yeah.
No one else is doing it.
Yeah, true.
No one else is doing it. There's not enough personalities out there, especially in the coaches, you know.
Yeah.
Guys just...
They just sulk and go on with their
business. Oh, man, come on. Yeah. Pizza.
It's like, I would have loved for Coach Rulani to address the offside and the red card, because when he was asked about it post-match, he just said no comment straight out.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it fun. You know, at least defend your boys. Say, you know, it's part of football, it's part of the game, something like that. You know, the truth, you know? Because I'm sure he also saw that it was contentious. It was...
Yeah.
It wasn't...
It was a red card, Slew.
It was a red card, yeah.
The guys under pressure after the game, it just want to go home, Chief.
Yeah.
Take your 3 points and run. Go try your Nando's in the bus.
Yeah.
And go home.
Just want to go home. Yeah.
Half chicken meal. Are you listening, Nando's? Half chicken meal.
Let's talk about Rulani, though. Okay, so after the Stellenbosch match, everyone is going... And now after this Highlands match, he's off the hook for now, but he's got the derbies coming up.
What did they say? They're giving him 4 games, I think?
Yeah, including the Stellenbosch and Highlands match. So now it's two games. You know, to
and derbies back to back.
Back to back derbies. 4 games. Easy.
You know?
You know what the problem is with derbies, hey? It's the same as finals. It's such a massive build up and you sometimes get let down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like a boring 0-0 draw or a 1-1 or, but I think this year's gonna be a lot different. I really do. I think the way Chiefs are playing,
of course,
the confidence. I mean, look, Pirates are playing good football, eh?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, if you look at the stats between, I can't remember the Cape Town's, the Stellenbosch game, like 33 attempts on goal.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, going forward, they're lethal. Yeah. They're just not taking their chances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not clinical.
Same can be said for Cape Town City.
Of course, as comrade, we need prayers and.
Need a miracle, man.
Yeah, but
get Seko back.
No,
get Seko back.
But I think the derby itself, I think Kaizer Chiefs has a little bit of an edge, merely because how they won against Sundowns, you know, away, and also with the form that they're in. What I like about Kaizer Chiefs is they're very structured.
Mm.
It's not your previous Kaizer Chiefs where people are delaying on the ball. You know,
that's typical Ernst, though, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's very productive. Everybody knows what they're doing, and they're very, very productive. And now, when you look at Orlando Pirates, there's too many chop and changes because nothing is going well.
Especially defensively, Tekka.
Yes, there's lack of consistency. It's center backs; they always change everybody there. Everybody can play there, and in the midfield as well. You see Makarenge, you see Kola Mlambo. Next time you see Musa Nyatam. So there's always changes because Rulani is trying to find that combination that actually works. But now it's difficult because you're not winning. Mm. You know, you need results. So now he might go with a different team into the derby.
Yeah.
You know, with a different personality on the team. And then now, Kaizer Chiefs, we know. I can ask you now, what's your first 11 for Kaizer Chiefs? You'll tell me right away.
Yeah.
We know what we're expecting from Kaizer Chiefs. But with the Orlando Pirates, we don't. And that can be a disadvantage as well.
Yeah.
Because now you don't have that momentum. You don't have players. Because you might see Musa Nyatama coming back and play.
Mm.
And he hasn't been playing for like 2 games or so.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a problem. It becomes that imbalance within the team. And then now we also trying to look at, okay, why Orlando Pirates are not winning. It's not because maybe they defend very badly. I think there's bad combinations on the pitch. You know, the partnerships are bad.
Yeah, sure.
Very bad. Like, you find Ndengani,
yeah,
who is, to me, as a central midfielder. I think he played central midfielder most of his life.
Yeah.
Especially in Bloemfontein Celtics. And then you come to a big team where there's certain responsibilities that in Bloemfontein Celtics, they were not there. So now he comes here, he needs to play differently.
Yeah.
Now you have Happy Jailer that is very experienced. He's been playing that position now. He's a captain. So sometimes playing for Orlando Pirates is a big crowd. There's no time, my friend, to tell you, man coming, look over your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need to, everybody needs to know their roles and take responsibility.
You gotta know, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of chop and change. Now there's a new boy that plays as a right back as well. He's new into the team.
Mm.
He's just new.
You know, so, as a player of Pirates right now, you've gotta be, what's the word? Not frustrated, but surely craving consistency of some sort. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you gotta feel sorry for someone like Wayne Sandilands, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt sorry for him when they signed Zadele, the keeper from France.
Dele, yeah.
Mm. I mean, for me, Wayne is, sure, for the past 10 years, one of the best keepers in the PSL.
Yeah.
Certainly the hardest working keeper I've ever worked with, had the privilege of working with.
Wayne works hard.
He is, he's a solid boy.
Yeah.
Very professional.
And he was getting everything against Highlands, everything.
Well, I mean, now he's 36, eh? And now he's playing like he's 20 again. It's unbelievable. So, but yeah, you need that. If there's one position you need to be solid at Pirates at the moment, is goalkeeper, which they've got. Yeah. But in front of him, he must be f***ing himself every game.
Yeah. I see in the comments all the time people going, why doesn't Rulani just try to go back to Michu's system? He was there for it last season, a season prior. So why does he so vehemently believe in change now that that's not working? Why doesn't he just try Michu's system again? Because he knows how to set
it up. It's not his way. He's trying to cement his stake, you know. I'm Rulani Mokoena. This is the way I play. If you like it or don't like it, it's me.
Even me, if I was a coach, I'll never resort to other coach's system. It's me. I need to put on my personality there. And people need to understand one thing. As much as Rulani, things aren't going well for him right now, that guy's good.
He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
We've spoken about it at length before, Teko.
I'm telling you.
He's amazing in front of the camera.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm.
He knows the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. So now, if given a chance, I know South Africans, we don't like
give him a chance.
We know that Orlando Pirates are craving for a trophy.
Yeah.
We know that. But give Rulani a chance.
Yeah.
I promise you, you'll see the change. You'll see where Orlando Pirates will be. And you'll see how many people are going to copy what Rulani is doing.
Yeah. And you know what I find funny about South African fans,
right? That's a big statement, eh?
I promise you, he's that good. I worked with him when we won Champions League.
I was about to say, you've worked with him before. And you've worked with Pizzo before. And you've spoken to him at length on how you rate Pizzo as well as a coach.
No, Pizzo, in terms of preparations, those are two different coaches.
Yeah.
Pizzo in preparation, trust me, Pizzo knows every player, every strength of every player. He's Pizzo lives, sleeps football.
Mm.
You cannot tell me anything about football. He knows the game. That's why he's winning so much, because he puts in the work.
Mm.
Rulani is, he's got the finesse, you know, into the game. He likes bringing in new things because he's very young.
Very
he likes bringing in new things.
And that's right. Yeah,
and he's brave. Imagine, Orlando Pirates, every coach that goes there, they're scared to change. They're all doing the same thing. So Rulani is new. He's bringing something new.
He's fearing football, but
exactly.
Yeah.
Give him a chance. Look, when you watch Orlando Pirates play, my friend, you're also smiling. They play beautiful football.
Absolutely.
They play beautiful, but they don't put in the ball in the net, because everybody wants to, they want to score with too many touches. We know that. It's clear, we know that. But what I'm saying is, give Rulani 2 more years.
Simon, what do you think about Pirates, bud? Your expert opinion.
Yo.
Yo.
That's the headline.
Quotes of the session.
Yeah.
Yo. Hey, that is yo. Like, please don't put me, don't throw me on the bus.
I think we should maybe give this guy his opinion.
Yeah.
I think Rulani should take off the mask. We can see Steve Combell.
Who said that? No, guys, no. I think also because Rulani has no background of him playing professional football, it's a little bit of an advantage, a disadvantage rather, because the respect is less.
I get that.
Played.
Mm-hmm.
But now people are not judging you based on what you're doing now. All the guys that played football were like, Clinton Larson, let's give him a chance. He's been coaching for how many years?
Mm.
Clinton Larson.
Have you ever played under someone who's never played at the highest level?
Yeah, at Orlando Pirates. Bibi Mutombo, where did Bibi Mutombo play? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't respect the guys that probably maybe never play that much. But also Mourinho, where did Mourinho play?
Correct. True.
You see, so he just said we need to be judging this person by the work that he's doing. And Rulani hasn't failed, actually.
No, he's growing.
You know, and
what's he, 32 years old?
Yeah.
Maybe he's 22. Sure. He looks 22 though.
He looks young, yeah.
He looks very young. No, he's a young coach. But then calculate how many years Peter started being successful after being a coach.
Correct.
How long Peter has been a coach to actually get to
Ulani hasn't even started.
He hasn't even started, but now.
And he's coaching one of the biggest teams in Africa.
Guys, to coach Orlando Pirates is not easy.
Yeah.
That I can tell you that much. Even being a player, it's easy to sign for Orlando Pirates, but to play.
Different story.
Yeah. Yes.
You would know.
It's similar also to Sir Alex when he was starting as a coach. He didn't immediately start winning trophies, but eventually he becomes one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen.
Same as Pip, you know? Yeah. It's the same thing.
But one thing I know that Dr. Ivan Koza is not a dumb person. He knows what he's doing with Rolani.
100%. Yeah. And he supports him.
Yeah, exactly.
I do feel like we need to give some context to this. So the fan reactions, one, I got that after the Stellenbosch match. And we get them straight after the match when they're at their most mad. If we play the other one, you'll hear how...
They like people mad.
Yeah.
This guy. My name is Mpo Bignas. Yes, Mnyamagengani is my team. Nagalapile kaRulani. I'm tired. I'm feeling tired. KaRulani. Bona. I'm tired. Kilapile. Kilapile. I'm tired. KaRulani. Lidi sexy style. Faga. Take a parrot in the coach. Rito Jagiri Stellan Bosco. Come on, come on. Pass me the some of us. But we are the pirates. Nene. Come on, guys. Come on. These guys must pick up their socks. Bomb abasa. But we go. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. You want to win games, man. Chief is gonna bury us.
Yeah. I
so yeah, I agree with what he says.
You know,
I have no idea what he just said. All I heard is that he's tired.
It's from Pretoria, my brother.
He's tired, dude.
Yeah, he's tired.
Oh my word.
So, he's tired.
You know, you understand fan frustration. I mean, I think with Pirates though, generally the fans are patient and they know that, like, you know, their neighbors last season struggled all season, and now they have a turnaround. So they also see the opportunity for patience there. So I think that, you know, we get those post match and they're just funny to us.
Yeah. But also it puts them under pressure because Chiefs is doing well.
So absolutely.
It's like the bragging rights are gone now. Because now you can't have a conversation in the pub like, you know, they used to do that with Kaizer Chiefs. Yeah, you guys would win. But now things have turned around so much for them. So
I mean, but to compare him to Steve Compeller is a bit of a... I mean, you can't imagine Rolani saying, we are the biggest toilet in the world. Whenever we want to relieve ourselves, it's easier to get rid of the coach. Steve Compeller had his best.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, when Rulani, they kind of take things out of context with him. Like, like we made fun of him for saying he ran out of time. I don't think he was saying, you know, give us 30 minutes extra time.
Yeah.
He was more so saying, like, you know, we just kind of didn't get going until the end. So, you know, they're kind of unfair to the guy. He's a very intelligent young coach. I don't agree with firing coaches straight outright. I think give them a season. I mean, Arsenal's given, for example, Unai Emery a full season and a half, and now only we're saying
that's a full season and a half too much, I think. But we'll get to that. So your Pirates, they played 8, conceded 13, 9 points, 10th on the log. Not good enough. Not yet. 2 big games coming up. I think if they win those 2 games, we might see new Pirates coming out in the middle of November, you know?
And they're capable, dude.
100%.
Like, they're capable. And we all know that when Orlando Pirates win games, how interesting the league is. You know, it's very nice. Orlando Pirates on song, you know, people actually come to the stadiums and all that stuff. So
just can you imagine it goes down to the wire?
It's
Chiefs
huge.
Against Pirates.
Mm.
How amazing would that be for the PSL?
Make sure that Pizzo doesn't hear you say that.
Yeah. Sorry, Pizzo. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll be epic, eh?
Yeah.
That'll be epic.
That'll be fantastic. So you sat down. You didn't sit down with him, sorry. You called up Brocky.
Well, Jeremy Brocky, yeah. We had a couple of quickfire questions with the big J-Dog, and this is what he had to say.
All right, boss. You ready for 10 quickfire questions?
Yeah, I think so. Let's see how we go.
Here we go, boy. Funniest guy in the PSL you've played with?
Tuso Pala.
Sure. Flashiest dresser?
Oh... Bradley Schrobler.
No ways. Really? Oh, God. Okay. He's going to love you for that, eh?
Yeah. Sorry. When you said, I thought it was going to be just in the Maritzburg team, so now you put me on the spot.
No, it's all good. Worst dressed?
Dean Furman. By far. By far.
Your worst mistake in a match?
I'll have to go to my most recent penalty miss for Maritzburg United on debut.
The teammate who thinks he's funny but he's actually not.
Let me go. This is not very quick fire, is it? Richard Afori, the captain.
All right, cool. The loudest player you've played with?
Oh, that's also Richard as well.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones when you're having a bit of an off day or you just want some peace and quiet, he's always louder than your face.
Sounds like my missus, bro. Best footballing memory besides meeting me?
In my career or in South Africa?
Career.
My career definitely has to be the 2010 World Cup here in South Africa, my appearance against Paraguay.
Lovely. And in SA?
In SA, probably my first Nedbank Cup trophy with Supersport. It was my first piece of silverware as a professional player.
Nice. Favorite car?
I'm not too into the flash cars, so I'll say my nice family get around by a Kia Sorento.
Rocky, your favorite local food?
Biltong.
Okay, lovely. And your favorite holiday destination?
Mauritius.
Yeah?
It's a place that we go to. Well, you can eat and drink. Nice way to wind down after a tough season.
100%. And I saw your kids wearing a New Zealand rugby jersey on Instagram the other day. Have you thrown them away?
Yeah. Yeah, we've packed that away. We've folded that away, and we'll save that for another 4 years' time, I think.
All right, my brother, and thanks for your time.
Sweet, mate. Cheers.
Brocky. Okay. What a boy. And before that, actually, he was just about to go coach some kids. I mean,
did you let your kids near Jeremy Brocky?
Hell no. Hell no. Dean Furman, worst dress, Tex?
I haven't seen the guy, actually, off the pitch. I don't want to lie.
Worst dress, a big state. Our leader. Worst dress.
I was also surprised.
Nobody captains don't dress that well. I know a few.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say them. Yeah.
I was like, oh.
No, but Tom Pukekana, for one, the dirt. He knows that. And he doesn't care.
Good man.
I love him.
Kekana.
And he doesn't care. And he'll tell you straight that whenever you see me wearing a jean, you must know that I'm going to something serious. I don't wear a jean coming to train. He doesn't care. But he's a man of principle, of course.
100%.
You know, same as
and that shows on the pitch as well, you know?
Yeah.
So Dino, come on, boy. Bradley Grobler, best dressed. That's a shocker, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
A white guy, best dressed.
Never.
Jeez.
Jeremy Brock is lying.
who is the best dressed? Who have you seen like, hey, man, this guy is killing it?
I think most of PSL players that actually dress as well, we all dress the same.
Mm.
We might not dress the same brand, but we all dress the same. It's like your normal jean, t-shirt type of thing.
Mm.
I think most guys dress well. But it's just that we actually recognize the one that dress so
easy
to recognize that one than the best dresser.
No pressure, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean... onto Jeremy, I think it's a good move for him going to Maritzburg, personally. He just needs that goal just to get him rocking and rolling again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's 100% fit now, so we'll be seeing a lot of him in the pitch. Fingers crossed it'll go well for him, eh?
Yeah, but look, I think also, because I when we were doing the game on Friday against Cape Town City, I think one thing that the Maritzburg players are still struggling with is the understanding between them and Brocky, because Brocky still does those runs that he was doing at Supersport, but the crosses are not coming there.
Yeah.
And Maritzburg is a team that actually crosses the ball, but Brocky's not a header. He always wants the ball in the far post so he can volley it, but the crosses are not coming there. So if they can have that understanding, we'll see a better Brock.
And a better Maritzburg.
Yeah.
I think Eric Tech has done very well there. Yeah. So, yeah, fingers crossed that shall continue, hey?
Definitely, definitely. So, I do this thing called My Starter Pack. My Starter Pack! Yes, I chat to players about their first car, first house, that sort of thing. So, I sat down. Well, I didn't sit down. I always say that. I got Mark Mayambela on the phone. Great guy. He has some funny stories. Which one you got lined up there, sir?
My first paycheck. My first salary at Celtic was 5,500 rands. Most of it I spent it on my mom because I remember I had a signing on fee of 15,000. So I gave it to my mom.
It's a lot. You say it's a lot?
Yeah.
How much was your first paycheck, if you're willing to
1.2.
say?
Where was that?
PSL, Ria Stars.
Wow.
Mm. 1.2, and I have to pay 600 rands for rent.
So 600 bucks to spoil yourself, eh?
Yeah, 600 bucks. And the 600 bucks to spoil myself, I need to have money for grocery because I was staying with Abednego and Ichoge. He was earning way more than me, but he wanted me to buy groceries. So there was no way, chief. So that's why that first season of me in the PSL, it was a struggle.
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
Dang. And you, sure?
I think I was a little bit more. I was at Wits. I think it was like 7.5.
People were earning much. I started getting that money in NFD. In the PSL, never. My first salary was 1.2. Rhea
so Maris won't win too, eh?
No, man. 1,200 reds.
Yeah.
And imagine I'm staying in Polokwane. How far? So yeah, there was nothing that I could send home.
Dang.
Living the dream, Teko.
Yeah, the sacrifice that we...
Teko in Polokwane.
Yeah.
Would have loved to have been a fly on the wall there, eh?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Hey, Teko, you're going to go out for drinks? Ish. Hey, my guy.
Ah,
ish.
I don't know.
And at that time, like... I'm dating this chick that they knew into this ice cream dates and all that stuff. I'm from Soweto. There's no ice cream dates.
There's no ice cream full stop.
There's no ice cream full stop. We have to wait for the car once in a while in summer.
It comes in, it's melted.
You know
and
what I'm saying?
It's those packets. It's not like Magnums. It's those packets with the juice.
They don't bring something expensive. Now she's saying, we need to go for...
Soft serve. Milky Lane. My man.
Ice cream dates.
Mm.
I don't have money, my friend, and I just got paid.
I still don't do your ice cream dates.
She didn't understand that.
Never. I don't think I ever got into... I remember when I first went to private school, that was a big thing. Kids used to go to these ice cream dates. I'd be like...
Ice cream dates?
Yeah.
Simon, I can see you liking a little ice cream.
No, I have worse. My first was miserable mini golf.
Wow.
Mini golf.
That didn't last long, eh?
No. That was it. It was the one, and then it was done.
Okay. Mm. You're used to sinking your balls in a hole, eh? I can see.
Oh, man.
I'd like that to be a running trend. Simon just like being the biggest player of all time.
The big dog.
You know?
Oh, man.
What was the other one? My first
cell phone.
Yes.
My dad bought me a... what was that? Nokia. These big Nokias. I think 9100 or something. That was the first phone that my dad bought for me. But I never went to use it. My mom took it. So that was my first phone that I didn't use.
That brick. It's that brick. When we talk about brick phones, that's the one he's talking about.
Jeez. Yeah, that was similar to me, I think. That was definitely my first day.
I missed that generation. You know, I'm a young boy. I'm a young warthog.
When life was simple.
Yeah.
I did have a 3310 at one point.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
I remember playing, Space Invaders on that.
Private school kids.
Referred to as the analog digital divide. The kids who grew up with analog watches and then the kids who grew up with cell phones.
You know? So, what was your guys, was that your first one?
Yeah, definitely.
Well?
The brick.
Yeah.
I think mine was the Sony Ericsson, the one that you could slide. Remember the...
Cool.
Yeah.
When you look cool, you thought you looked cool.
I thought I looked cool. Yeah. But
you actually didn't.
But then, at Riestas, now we got I think it was a sponsor. They gave us phones. They gave everybody a phone. They didn't tell us that we had to pay.
Hey.
End of the month. Yeah, we got like 6210. You remember that 6210?
Yeah, yeah.
That long one, that long, nice one phone.
Here's a sponsor, but it's going to cost you 100 rand a month.
They never told us that.
So Deco, I'll sponsor you a Ferrari, but you've got to pay for
it. So then 600 became 500 rand.
Even less.
Yeah.
So I had to take the phone back because I couldn't pay. Because obviously I would be forever on the phone, not knowing that I need to pay end of the month. It was. I think Tapelo Liao also brought it back. There were so many players that brought it back.
Shit.
They were complaining. I think Tapelo's bill was the highest. I think he had like 9 or 10,000.
What?
Yeah. So he had to bring it back. He complained.
This thing's not working.
No, he was like, the bill was too high. And then he also, everybody didn't know that we have to pay at the end of the month. We thought it was just like, guys, here are the phones, we're giving you free airtime and all that stuff.
Mm.
But then, after 1 month, everybody took the phones. And when Tapelo complains, you know that it's a complaint. Because he has to complain.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
We need a feature about, like, PSL player struggles. Like, you know, the things that they don't tell you, you know? Because you always see the flashy stuff and you go, these players, you know, they get everything they want.
I know, yeah. We could speak for days on that.
Yeah.
Like, the life of a footballer is not always that glamorous.
I
think also what's important, maybe if you speak about how they started, like, what is it that they did to get initiated to be part of the team? Because I think now players just come in and just play. For us, when we started, we had to pick up the balls of the training, the cones and all that stuff. Yeah, we had to do that.
Of course.
We did that. Dang. Now, this day.
That doesn't happen, eh?
Nah, not anymore.
First ones to leave the bloody field.
They're the first ones to leave. Now they're the first, the younger ones especially, they're the first ones to leave.
Entitled, Teko.
Exactly.
The players of these days are entitled. It's bullshit.
Dang. I wonder if was there ever like hazing? Like, did they ever like a senior player, like, you know?
Oh, back in the day, I mean, it'll be good to get someone like Rowan Fernandez in here and talk about his vits days, because I'm sure he got up to a lot of there. He's a naughty boy, that one.
Yeah. Because I always wonder about like pranks. Like, you show up and like your locker's empty.
Oh, I can tell you a good prank that happened to me. Dale Sidinski, Phil Evans, Roger Dassault, I was new at Wits, and I used to come to training on my Vespa because I thought I was cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. So,
until I discovered I wasn't.
I was picturing Sean tall.
And I looked very, on a Vespa, very gay. But
quite
anyway.
Top heavy.
Yeah, yeah. So, come out of training one day, my Vespa's gone. Literally in tears. It's brand new, you know?
Yeah.
I can see Roger like sniggering and laughing, and Dale's like sniggering and laughing, and Phil is pissing in his pants, literally. I look up, you know, Bidvest Park or Bidvest Stadium. They put it on top of the roof.
Wow.
They put it on top of the roof. Don't ask me how. We had to get a crane to get it down.
What?
We couldn't get it down. They got it up, but we couldn't get it down.
That is ridiculous.
They probably threw it there.
The story of my life. I was bullied, Echo. Yeah, I'm still trying to get over it, okay?
Yeah, we have to get them in here and ask them how they did it.
I was bullied a lot as well because I was very skinny.
That is amazing.
Nothing's changed, eh?
Yeah, right. I know. I was bullied. And I also, maybe because, you know, all the guys that were there, they were much older than me.
Yeah.
Like they were early 30s, you know, late 20s. So I was just 18, fresh from Soweto.
Best way to learn, bro.
You know, so I learned a lot. But I think also with that, I took a lot because of most of them, they actually taught me stuff. Like Frank McCourt taught me how to play proper midfield.
Mm.
And is somebody that actually doesn't get praise or nobody speaks about it. And I was competing with Tapelo Liao in the same position. When he left Rio Sassi, he went straight to Orlando Pirates to play. So it was difficult for me to play. I'll be friends with Tapelo today. He respects me the way that he did before. But it just isn't because I learned. You know, I was very young.
But you were willing to learn, Tapelo.
I was willing
to
learn.
That's the difference these days. Guys these days are not willing.
I wanted to make it. I knew that if I can learn and listen, I'll be better than them.
100%.
And then whether I'm better or not, I was better or not, but for the fact that it helped me so much to become a player that can actually play in the national team or in a big team, it's because what Rias does, that season itself, it has taught me a lot.
Well, if all the youngsters had your attitude these days, we'd see a much better PSL.
But because they're getting exposed too quickly.
Yeah. Too much too quick.
Yeah, they're getting exposed too quickly. So now one game, they're in the newspapers, whether it's MDC, whether it's the PSL, everybody get exposed too quickly, and I think that have made it.
But also another problem is, I think we touched on it when we had a coffee the other day. We said, it's too easy now to get a Bafana cap, isn't it?
Yeah, no. They just
hand them out like it's cheese and tomato sandwiches.
Yeah, it's like you loading it. You know that sometimes you load the data and then they give you extra SMS minutes?
Yeah.
It's like in the PSL, like once you just play one good game, trust me, you have your Bafana cap.
Yeah.
And then after the Bafana cap, you get an interview. So now you're getting profiled.
I think you're anything. A big dog.
We had to wait. If I was telling Sean the other day, like I had to wait to be profiled. You had Steve Pienaar, you had Darren Barkley, you had all Benny McCarthy's, you had Mr. Zuma, Nomvet. I had all those guys.
That's Steve Morris.
Dude,
yeah.
I had all those guys. So I needed to wait for my turn to play first so I can get profile.
Mm.
So imagine you have to wait like this for Steve Pienaar to play bad. You're going to wait forever.
Yeah.
So
you'll be waiting.
Yes. So, but it's just that we know that times have changed, but it's just that the principles shouldn't change, you know?
Sure.
You know, people need to earn their national team caps. You know, it needs to be a pride to wear the jersey. So
they've lost that pride, haven't they?
Yeah, because
it's a weekend away now.
Yeah, people can walk in the national team and out as they please. You know, somebody can come from Europe and come here and get injured just because he wants to see his family.
Yeah.
You know, there's always ways out. We're footballers. We can get away with so many things.
Absolutely, yeah. You
know? Can't wait for us to get Deco's thoughts in a couple of weeks' time when we preview the AFCON qualifiers. Because if I know anything, you have some strong thoughts there. let's get into this worst dressed.
Yes, I've had the liberty this month. Or this week. Sorry, guys.
Don't call me.
Sorry, guys. So every week we're going to look at two guys who have been the worst dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass this around. It's going to be loaded up on screen.
So just to make people aware, footballers, just be sure that we're looking. We're watching.
Look at this. Willard Katsander, my friend. What? What? And why?
And what?
And he's holding a cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's a strange
it's
image.
It's a soft touch.
It's yeah, I don't know.
Details me.
I'm confuzzled.
There's always a running joke about people who wear like camouflage where it's like, where's his chest?
That's what I'm saying. He's lost his sleeves. I don't know. But yeah. Willard, thank you, my brother.
I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything.
You're part of this.
Well, look, at least he's wearing clothes, which...
At least he's wearing clothes, which I can't say much for my ex-teammate Stefan Van Niel here. I don't know what he's doing.
What are we about to look at?
The speeding.
Oh, man.
You know, it looks, you know, when you drive past a bad car accident, you know, you shouldn't look, but you always look.
You always can't look.
This is it.
Did he like?
But what he said underneath is the cherry on top.
What did he say?
In order to appreciate the sun, you got to know what the rain is. Stefan van Niel.
Ah.
Beautiful.
Cheesy.
Be careful, guys. We're on you.
Cheesy.
But we love you.
Man.
Not great.
Man.
Just that he didn't have the caption to go with a picture, that's all.
I just kind of threw up in my mouth a little, just a little bit.
Oh. Just a little bit.
Man, did he baby oil himself up there?
Of course he did.
We'll get some of that rain, you can wash it out.
Damn, boy.
Ooh. We have predictions to get into. Please play this clip. I love this clip.
Prediction of the week right here.
Yeah.
So, Princess, how do you see the game going? What do you think? What's your score prediction? England versus the Springboks in the Rugby World Cup final of 2019 in Japan. What is your score prediction?
2-1.
2-1.
2-1.
Oh my god.
Man. That is hilarious. It's so good.
I think
it's
she was so caught off guard though.
Of course she was.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yes. It is funny.
The best way to like really rev up those staunch Afrikaans guys is when, you know, ball goes down, points, everyone's cheering. He's like, who scored the goal?
Yeah.
But, the fire in their eyes.
Yeah. But Teko's right about her being caught off guard because I've seen the video and there's these weird like zoom ins on her face.
Yeah.
And so when you see her face, she's like, I think she's making coffee.
Yeah, she is making coffee.
She's just like,
and you can tell it's a football person.
Yeah.
She has no idea what's possible. Nah. God bless her.
Only thing on her mind is Paris Chiefs.
So 100%.
She's, like, yeah.
She's gone 2-1.
So right. We've got Telkom knockout this weekend.
Tough week.
Big ones.
Interesting ones.
Well, before we get there, brought to you by Sponsor Pending. Please wait.
We'd like to thank the good people over at...
Watch this space, guys.
Maritzburg. Let's start with Maritzburg Highlands because you spoke to Brocky. What are your thoughts there? Brocky, the player struggling for a goal versus Highlands with Shalulile up front.
Yeah. Highlands are on form, you know, even though the last result hasn't shown that, but they're certainly playing well. So are Maritzburg. I think it's 3-3 for Maritzburg, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Maritzburg at home, I'm going for a low scoring win for Maritzburg. 2-1.
2-1. Deco?
Also, judging on how Maritzburg is playing lately and how they previously played against Highlands Park, especially there in Maritzburg, Maritzburg played better because they're more of a team that passes the ball than what Highlands Park does. But now Highlands Park has a different dimension as well with Litsulo Nyane playing lately, so he gives them that extra you know, that extra boost. But I think it's going to be a 1-0 game. It's going to be one of those games that they cancel each other, because that's Owen likes to play a system that cancel someone else and then, you know, get that set piece and then probably maybe, you know. But I see Maritzburg going through.
Okay.
Yeah, 1-0, hey?
1-0.
Cool. So we're on the same wavelength there.
I'm actually going to say Highlands, because they're mad, I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that they take out their anger on Maritzburg and take a 2-0 win.
2-0.
It's difficult to win there, my friend.
Maritzburg's not a... Was it Harry Gwala, eh?
Aren't they playing in that small pitch of theirs?
Harry Gwala Stadium.
That's what it's called. I don't know.
In Maritzburg, yeah. Sure, it's called Harry Gwala Stadium.
It's difficult and people actually come and support Maritzburg.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to win there. So.
They've got a nice support base.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They've got a decent squad this season.
They've got a decent squad, yeah.
SuperSport United versus Golden Arrows.
I think they're playing this one in a neutral ground, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're playing this in Nelson, in Nelspruit.
Yeah, Nelspruit.
So I'm going for a SuperSport win. I think up front, SuperSport are dominant, and I don't think Golden Arrows can hold them off for this one. I'm going for a 2-0 win, SuperSport.
Yeah, I see a game that actually might have many goals than two, merely because of how SuperSport attacks. And with Golden Arrows, we know that they're relying on Foster Boy, their striker, the number 9, the one that actually scored more goals for them, the Zimbabwean boy.
Yeah, Matizwe. Yeah.
They're only relying on Matizwe. So now with SuperSport, there's different dimension. There's Probla, there's Gabuza as well. Rozike might chip in.
I love that partnership, eh?
Yeah,
Gabuza, Probla at the moment.
There's a nice understanding there. So I see SuperSport winning that game, mainly because SuperSport has a taste of victory now. They know, you know, they've been in the podium, so they want to do that again, because they know that the league can go either way, so they might as well grab all these things that are within their reach. So I see SuperSport winning that game, probably 3-0 or 3-1.
3-1.
It's going to be more than two goals.
Yeah, betting against SuperSport in a cup competition, probably end up looking like an idiot. So
cup specialist now.
Yeah, cup specialist over there. So I think I'm gonna agree with you guys, but I'm actually gonna say I'm gonna go 2-0. I'm gonna go 2-0 there.
Wise man.
And then
wise man Mutizo.
So how's Chipper United versus Sundowns?
Yeah, so Chipper at home, I think it is. I think they knocked Sundowns out last Telkom Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it a season or two seasons ago? I think they did.
It was last year. Last season. And I'm going for Sundowns win, though, away from home. A convincing Sundowns win.
Yeah.
I think Chipper are nowhere near where they should be.
Yeah.
I think it's criminal that they're on their third coast already this season.
Mm-hmm.
Convincing 3-4 goal advantage as well for me. Yeah.
So another dominating Sundowns performance in the Telkom knockout.
I don't see Pizzo losing two games in a row.
Yeah, good point.
When Pizzo loses a game, it's funeral. You know, it's too much tension. I don't think players want to go through that. So I see...
They're not allowed to lose.
Yeah, it's not nice. It's really not nice because you can't even smile.
Yeah.
They'll tell you straight, when we lose at Sundowns, it's a funeral. Tell you straight. Yeah. So I see a very dominant Sundowns on the day with all the big guys coming back, your Temba Zwane and all that stuff. So I see Sundowns probably winning 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Maybe even 5. You know how they are. They're ruthless because probably maybe they want to, you know, rectify what happened last week, you know, big results so that, you know, can be back in the good things.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at guys like Meza. Temba Zwane is going to be back. You know, when I saw him announced in the Bafana squad, I was like, okay, that means he's probably going to play the next match for Sundowns. So, you know, it's just going to be too difficult. You know, apart from the Chiefs match, Sundowns had that dominant 5-0 victory. As Teko said, it's Pizzo, man. Pizzo is he's out for blood right now.
Yeah, not two games in a row. Losing two games in a row. Trust me, you wouldn't want to go to training. That's how bad it is because he hates losing.
Mm.
And you can see also it's instilled with the guys as well. Sundowns players hate losing.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose because they know how unsettling it is.
Yeah.
So they're used to winning, and when they get such opportunity, you know, if they were playing another big game, we'd be like, okay, maybe 2-1. But now they're playing Chipper.
Mm.
Even though Chipper is like how many weeks preparing for that game, it doesn't matter.
Mm. New coach,
new system.
We'll come back next week. We'll say new coach.
Yeah.
You might be right.
New coach.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
So I see a very, very dominant Sundowns.
Right. The big one.
Yeah, the big one. The tough one.
Sure.
Chiefs versus Pirates. Soweto Derby. Moses Mabhida Stadium. Yeah.
I am going on my gut here. I'm saying because of Pirates... what's the word? Unsurety at the back. I'm going with a Chiefs win. I'm going for a 2-1 Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an unbelievable game.
Mm.
And that's what I'm feeling. And I hope I'm right.
Deco.
Former Pirates man yourself?
Yeah, I'm a former Sundowns man. Playing Orlando Pirates.
Yes.
And SuperSport.
Yeah. But you must start with Sundowns because that's where I won everything.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know? Not saying anything bad about Orlando Pirates.
No.
But I think the problem now that teams are facing, especially with Kaizer Chiefs, Nokovic, he's a problem.
Mm.
It's very difficult to play against him. He's a nuisance. And then now, Wittendorp has mastered playing Castro and Nokovic
the three up front at
the same time. And it works so well. With Orlando Pirates' defense problems, it's going to be a big issue. And we know that Orlando Pirates is not a team to sit back and absorb pressure. And we know that they're going to open the game. And once they open the game, they open for Kama, Manyama to utilize the spaces. Nokovic, who always plays on the shoulder.
Mm.
It's going to be a long day for Orlando Pirates. So I see a 2-1 victory for Kaizer Chiefs.
2-1 victory for Chiefs. I've come to always kind of go against the grain when it comes to derbies specifically. I know on paper, Chiefs should be winning this match. It's lined up for them to finally break that curse of not beating Pirates since 2014. But again, it almost feels too good to be true for me. So I'm gonna go 1-1 and it goes all the way to penalties and Pirates sneak it.
Nice.
That's my prediction. You know, it could go either way. I don't see Pirates winning it outright. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna have to push it all the way to the end to get a win.
Might happen though. You know, it's
football's teams. A beautiful game, Teko.
Yeah.
Anything's gonna happen.
Yeah.
We just want to see a beautiful game. That's all.
I think we will.
Yeah.
It's gonna
be
fireworks. It's gonna be absolute fireworks.
And on the pitch, not on the touchline.
In the tunnel.
Beautiful game. Yeah, I know.
Not in the tunnel.
Now, when the beautiful game on the pitch.
Premier League action.
Yes.
Hooray!
Interessant.
What are we talking about?
So I think the easy one to predict is going to be Aston Villa versus Liverpool.
Why is it easy?
Because, man,
football's not easy, my man. Football's full of surprises. But funny enough, I'm going for Liverpool win.
Funny enough, convincing
Liverpool win for me. We saw them last night in action against Arsenal. But yeah, they played their schoolboys. They did well. A magnificent game for the neutral. Convincing 3-goal advantage. Liverpool win for me, away from home.
Yeah, I see Liverpool winning the game. You know, they're solid, especially now this season after winning the Champions League. You know, they became more solid and they've got that belief in them that, you know, they can score as many goals as they want to. And even with Van Dijk there at the back, you know, they're safe. You know, I think it's going to be a very convincing win, you know.
Yeah.
Those two Africans, they're up front, they're doing the business.
Mm.
It's very difficult to mark those two.
Unbelievable.
You know, they're doing a great job for Liverpool. So it's actually interesting to watch Liverpool play. Like, they're playing a very demanding system.
Mm.
And I don't understand that. How does the coach actually makes them to work that way?
Mm.
Because normally you never find Salah coming back to track or tracking back to come and defend.
Mm.
You know, he's a flashy player. He's a player supposed to score goals for you, but the system is designed for everybody to work. So everybody works.
We'll move on from that. I also predict a Liverpool victory. I'll go 3-0.
Arsenal Wolves.
Who supports Arsenal, number one? You support Arsenal?
I support Arsenal.
Wow, dude.
Hey, listen, I started supporting them in the year 2000.
It's a depressing time to be an Arsenal fan. It's actually depressing to be you, Slew, full stop. You know what I mean?
Arsenal draw.
Wow, I'm going for an Arsenal win. I don't care about Arsenal or Wolves. I'm just going for an Arsenal win. That's me.
That's fair.
That's done.
I don't watch Arsenal, so you'll tell me next week what was the score.
Yeah, no.
And I'm not going to waste my time.
You'll probably see it on my face.
Yeah.
I think I'll be surprised. Man City, Southampton. Man City's going to absolutely destroy them. Southampton coming off a 9-0 loss and a...
Might be a 10
tomorrow. 3-0 loss in the COVID Cup.
Yes.
3-0, I think. So 12 goals conceded in 2 games. Now they're going to the league champions. The best team on the planet, in my opinion.
Totally unbiased.
Yeah, we're looking at a four goal gap here for sure.
In
Man City's favor.
Yeah, but it's easy with the Man City because of how they play. Irrespective of who plays, the structure is still the same. Just like Liverpool, you know, they're very well structured, and it's one team that they always want to score more. So see your 5-6-0 there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's possible, they actually increase it. But I know for a fact that the guys that are on Song, they'll actually score. Your Sterling, your Aguero, obviously on his first post, and you might even find Jesus there also being a scorer someday. So De Bruyne obviously will create something stupid.
Yeah.
Will create it.
Yeah.
But that's the team. That's the team that they have. You know, it's a team that is very, very ruthless on just want to kill everybody. So it's not gonna be an interesting game, but it's gonna be one sided game like we normally see with Man City.
Yeah. I mean, Man City, I'm gonna go 5-0 just because Aguero up top, one of the greatest strikers we have to say in Premier League history.
As a foreigner as well.
Sterling down the left for me, genuinely early shout for next year's Ballon d'Or. He's playing remarkable football. If Man City do well in the Champions League, it's like Virgil van Dijk, where it's like he's like almost like a shoe-in to win, because you have to kind of be in the Champions League conversation to be in the Ballon d'Or conversation.
Yeah.
So as soon as City get that right, Sterling's in the conversation. And then De Bruyne, he's what Ozil used to be. And
just better.
Yeah, just better.
He reminds me of Ozil when he was at Madrid with Ronaldo in front of him.
Yeah.
Just assist king. And Riyad Mahrez, who I think was their player of the month last month.
Yeah, he was.
Good signing.
Yeah. And so, you know, Southampton's legs have been spread wide open over the past couple weeks, so...
Sounds familiar.
It's definitely not going to be easy.
Stop.
Do we have an inspirational quote after talking all this?
Yes, each show we're going to end off with, I know these PSL guys love a little quote, and so do I. I'm sure Teko, you do as well. This week I've got hold of Thabo Nyamani.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he's at Super Sport. So, enjoy today. Don't be trapped by your yesterday and anxious about your tomorrow. So in other words, if you've got one foot in the past and one in the future, you're pissing on the present.
Bang.
Damn.
Hey, Mr. Mnyamani, thanks for the quote.
Thank you, Tabo. And thank you, guys. First podcast.
Yes, that is how we wipe down the car at the car wash. Yeah, so I was thinking of that all show long, just like, how do I wrap this up?
But it's been awesome. Thank you, Teko.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Been great.
Thank you, Stu.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simon.
So hopefully next time we'll have food here. Please, can you organize that?
Nando's.
Because we were supposed to eat first.
Correct.
I mean, I hooked you up with my chow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So consistency.
Consistency.
One consistency.
Sweet.
What am I supposed to bring next time? Maybe I'll cook for you guys.
No.
Nando's, bro. It's the way forward, eh?
It's fine. It's fine.
Nando's, guys.
Shut up. We
guys,
need a sponsor, yeah.
Them prices.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
But thank you guys so much for coming in. And to you guys at home, find us right here next week. Same time, same place. Talking all over again.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.